Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley, and I'm the preacher for the Gibson City Church of Christ. And this morning, on our Sunday morning Bible study, we're going to continue looking at this new subject, the truth of Christianity. Before we get to that, I'll tell you briefly about the Church of Christ here in Gibson. We are Christians who meet in a building on the south side of town. The building's on Route 47. We're the first building north of the Pizza Hut. And we're going to meet this morning at 9 o'clock. We have classes for all ages. At 10 o'clock, we worship through singing and praying, reading scripture, eating the Lord's Supper, and preaching. And then at the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break and we reassemble for a second Bible study. And in this second study this morning, we're looking at the second half of Proverbs chapter 30. On Wednesdays, we have a midweek study that begins at 7 o'clock. It lasts for an hour, and we have classes for all ages. And we invite you to come out and join with us in our study of the book of Revelation on Wednesday evenings. And we have a website, GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. And if you go there, you can find all kinds of information. You can see our weekly bulletins, you can listen to sermons, you can listen to the series we had on prayer here just recently, and you can listen to these lessons on the truth of Christianity. In fact, it may be that if you hear me live here on the radio, you'll want to go back and re-listen to a lesson to make sure you understand what I'm saying and have gotten everything. So our website again is GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. The truth of Christianity. Last week we talked about truth. Truth is what is real. It's what is actual versus what's imaginary or false or a lie. And sometimes people make the ridiculous statement that truth doesn't matter. And that is such a bunch of baloney. Of course truth matters. It even matters to those who say truth doesn't matter. Let a man who says truth doesn't matter go to the bank and find out he's been cheated by the bank. Let's say he's got $100 in his checking account, and he writes a check for $50, which should be covered by the bank, but the bank sends him an insufficient fund notice and tacks on a fee for not having enough money in the bank, because the bank says he only has $10, when in fact he's got $100 in his account. Now, the truth matters in a situation like that, doesn't it? And here's a person who says, truth doesn't matter. So he goes to the doctor, and the doctor looks him over, and the doctor gives him some pills that some drug company has sent him, and the doctor tells him, these pills will help, these pills will make you feel better, when in fact what the doctor has been sent is poison of some sort, and the guy goes home and takes the pills and dies. No, truth matters. When we go to the doctor, truth matters when we deal with the bank, and truth matters in terms of religion. In the subject of religion, truth matters. And truth matters because success in life, living life properly, often depends on the truth. In fact, it almost always depends on the truth. When I fly on an airline, I don't want an airline certifying as fit to fly a broken airplane. I mean, truth matters. Reality matters to me in that situation. I don't want to be up in that plane and it crash because that plane should never have been flown until it's fixed. And truth matters because laws legislate truth. Laws are supposed to legislate truth. Laws legislate morality. Again, sometimes people say you can't legislate morality when in fact every law legislates morality. Every law says, don't do this, this is wrong, if you do it you're going to be punished, and instead behave in the opposite way. Or the law says, this behavior is right, its opposite is wrong. Every law legislates morality. The only question is, whose morality is going to be legislated? You know, maybe you've heard talk about Sharia law, Islam law, being introduced in this country. Sharia law, among other things, advocates honor killings. that you can murder a family member if that family member does something to bring shame on the family. In some contexts, Sharia law authorizes spousal abuse, a husband torturing his wife, or punishing his wife in some way. And I could go on and on. Now, Sharia law has its own set of morality. And so the question is, when it comes to legislating laws, whose morality are we going to follow? And truth matters when we're making laws. And so that's why we're going to talk about truth this morning. And the first question we're going to take up is, how do we determine truth? How does a person go about determining truth? And the fact of the matter is, there are only two ways by which men can determine truth. Every philosopher who's looked at this and every thinking person who's thought about it comes back to the fact that there are only two ways by which I, as an individual, as a human being, can determine, can know, can decide what's true. And the two ways are what I'm going to call common sense and sense. Now, common sense refers to logic. Common sense refers to reason. It refers to innate knowledge that we're programmed with when we come into this world. Common sense refers to self-evident realities and principles. For instance, common sense tells us that you can't have a square circle. Now, maybe you can have a head without a brain, if someone would try to advocate that, but common sense tells us you cannot have a square circle. They are a contradiction in terms. Common sense tells us that you can't walk in two directions at the same time. Common sense tells us that if right now, where I am, it is noon, it is not midnight. The law of non-contradiction, the law of the excluded middle, are the two classical examples of common sense. And so we use our common sense to determine certain things. And then the other way by which we ascertain or know or determine anything is by using our senses. Our senses employ our hearing, smelling, sight, touch, and taste. Those are the five senses. And we use those five senses to analyze, to observe, and to test the world that's around us. I believe it's the truth that water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, common sense doesn't tell us that. We're not born knowing innately at what temperature water freezes. We know at what temperature water freezes because we have used our senses. We have performed experiments and we've examined the results of those experiments. The fact of the matter is, most of what we know on the basis of our senses. And there's a word that I will use that simply describes or represents using our senses to obtain knowledge, and that is the word empirical. And so we know things logically, we know things empirically. And if anyone listening to this is a logic or philosophy major, knowledge that comes to us logically is deductive logic that gives 100% certainty. I mean, it's just logically 100% certain that 2 plus 2 equals 4. But knowledge that comes to us empirically is inductive knowledge that's based on probability. Now, we all think we know who we are. And we think we know who we are based upon information that's come to our hearing or come to our sight. Maybe a couple of older folks have told us, "You're our child. You were born on this day in this hospital." Maybe we've seen with our eyes a birth certificate in the county courthouse that says, yes, you were born this day in this hospital. But you know, documents can be forged and people can lie. Now, I believe I know who I am based on empirical evidence, and I believe I know who I am with a high degree of probability, but no one can know who they are with 100% certainty, because our self-knowledge, knowing who we are, is not the result of common sense. It's not the result of reason. It's the result of observation. Now, with all of that said, and again, you might want to go back and re-listen to this on the file that we'll load on our website. I'm not going into great detail. I'm trying to say enough and to give enough examples so that you can catch the flavor of what I'm trying to say. But if we know truth through our logic and through our senses, how can we know God and His truth? How can anyone know God and His truth? Well, the answer is the same way we know anything. The only way we can know God, if there is a God, the only way we can know that is through common sense and sense. And so there are two corollaries that flow from what I just said. The first is what I'm going to call the doctrine of the incarnation. Possibly the four most important words in regard to this subject in Scripture are found in John 1:14. The Word became flesh. There is no other religion on the face of the earth. There never has been any other religion that can claim what John 1:14 claims when it says the Word became flesh. What that means, go back and read John chapter 1. What that means is that God became human. God took on our humanity. The God of the Bible is a revealing God. He is a self-expressing God. And the Bible tells us that God has revealed Himself in various ways. Back in the Garden of Eden, there at the creation, God revealed Himself directly to man. He spoke directly to Adam and Eve. He was in actual contact with Adam and Eve in the garden. But following man's sin, man was driven out of paradise there. And for many, many centuries, millennia, God revealed Himself. God gave His word to man through the prophets. And the prophets would often say, "Thus saith the Lord." Hear ye the word of the Lord. God used the prophets to reveal Himself. But the highest way, the ultimate way by which God revealed Himself was by becoming a person. By taking upon Himself our humanity, by becoming a real historical person, a person who could be observed, a person who could be studied, a person who could be seen. Let me read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, because these three verses are so important in this discussion. John says in 1 John 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." If you ask the Apostle John, how do you know God exists? John would say, because I've seen Him. I touched Him. I ate with Him. I shook hands with Him. I was around Him. I observed Him under all kinds of situations. That's how I know a God exists. Someone says, well, I don't doubt that you saw Jesus of Nazareth, but how do you know Jesus of Nazareth was God? Why, the same way I know that there's a thing called gravity. I've never seen gravity. No one's seen gravity. All I've seen is its effects. I've never seen the wind, but I believe in the wind because I've seen the effects of the wind. And because I'm about out of time and I don't want to rush through this, I'm going to have to stop right now. But next week, when we are back here together, I want to pick up with talking about how we know there is a God and how we know that Jesus of Nazareth was God, and how we can know for a certain the truth that He was a God. And we're going to be using our common sense and our senses to make those determinations. Well, I think we're talking about some important matters here, and I hope you'll hang with me on this study. And again, GibsonCityChurchChrist.com. If you want to go back and re-listen to any of these discussions, go there and you'll find a folder that says The Truth of Christianity, and you can open it and you can click on the files and hear again what we're talking about on the radio here. So I hope you have a good week, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on The Way of Truth.